Coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast, we had a Ryder Cup week full of unreal shots, memories, moments. We had some chugs, some makeups. We have all the gossip from Whistling Straits, plus a crazy football weekend, NFL Week 3 and college football betting madness. I went into a free fall, plus everything we're tuned into outside of sports includes a streaming fave and an MTV classic. And this week's guest is Wes Patterson. You've heard him on here earlier this year. He has a new venture. It's called the Party Tour. That's right. It's a real golf party indeed. We get all the way into it. Plus, we always end with food, and all of it is brought to you by our friends at City Bonfires. Michael, and end of September, early October, prime fall months right now for a lot of people. And it's perfect fire pit, fire season, s'mores season, all the great things that associate with this time of year. And City Bonfire, perfect pairing to that. Check out citybonfires.com. Our promo code is COLFIRE. That's COLFIRE to save 10% off any order on the website. Check out their portable, reusable bonfires that are easy to light and easy to put out. They're easy to bring around anywhere you are to create that fire-filled mood. Don't forget, like I said, they've got s'mores kits on the website as well. So check them out at citybonfires.com. Promo code COLFIRE to get your City Bonfire today.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Greed Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf and Tosi Snacks. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, we're a right bunch of nitwits after choosing Europe to win the Ryder Cup. And what was a true shellacking of the European team as Team USA came out and did what all the bettors thought would do, except for us, and won pretty easily.
They were the favorite, huh? We were really discounting them for the last few weeks in this podcast. I guess all that had to happen was you and I turn into complete turncoats in order for the U.S. to throw out their most dominant Ryder Cup performance probably in our lifetime, a 19-9 win. Like literally Friday morning, first matches, they took a chokehold of this thing and never let go.
Yeah, it was pretty. If you were actually a European fan, you're probably still hiding under a rock after all of this.
It was ugly. Guys like Rory and Rahm and guys that you would expect to come through and get the points when they needed to. It was just absolutely domination from start to finish. Yeah. Everything you said about this being a British Open venue and not setting up well, and there's no mojo with this team. Listen, I don't know. We'll get into kind of what was real and what was fake between this Team USA and their bonding, but it all looked pretty genuine and it turned into a big ass win.
Yeah, I mean, this was everyone on Team USA seemed to be having a good time, from chugging beers on the first tee to Bryson driving the first tee to I mean everything happened on the first tee, really. That's all you need to know, is everything started and ended on the first tee.
Yeah, let's talk about Bryson real quick and get into his fanfare, because I kept tweeting this over the course of the weekend. You and I have just a torrid love hate for you. I think it's more, it's lean more on hate on Bryson DeChambeau and just the way he conducts himself on the course. However, this is an interesting scenario when he gets thrown onto our team, us being Americans and US golf fans, and you see how electric his game translates to a Ryder Cup format when he can hit a 417 yard drive on a par five, and he can drive the first green, which is a par four, to start his Sunday singles match against Sergio. He does things like that. And then you're just like, oh, well, crap, how am I supposed to hate this guy now? Because that was just pretty awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's easy to hate him because when his game isn't going well, he starts lashes out at the media. So then it's like, oh, yeah, that's why awesome. I hate this guy. Right, yeah. So, I mean, when things are going well for Bryson, things are going pretty darn well. And it seemed to be clicking on all cylinders for him throughout the week. There was one moment when I was watching, by the way, thank God there were live streams of the featured matches all day on the app, so that if you were working or you didn't have access to cable, you got to watch it. So I got to watch quite a bit over the course of the weekend when I normally would have been able to without having cable and NBC and wanting to pay for anything. But, Bryson being Bryson, getting up on one, I forget which tee it was, one time on a Saturday, I think it was, and had the driver out and put the driver back, took out a wood, and the crowd was like, oh, and he's like, no, it's all right, guys. I'm still going for the green. He was perfectly on brand all week, and it was fantastic.
He was, yeah, and yes, that three wood did make it close to the green on the par four as well, too. His distances are astronomical, and we got to see that play out firsthand. And you know, I don't care who you are on the other side there. If you see an opponent driving the ball like that when he does, even in moments, that intimidates the hell out of you. I don't care who you are, and it was very powerful to watch him. You know, he's got some legions of fans, but I feel like he really won over a lot more people this week. And it was interesting to see how he played along with Brooks Koepka, because we've been documenting that feud for so long. And I'm wondering where you think kind of that all stands after this Ryder Cup week between the two of them.
You know, it still seemed awfully awkward, all of their interactions during the course of the week, from on the practice tees early in the week to that hug in front of the trophy. That just also seemed really odd to me, because it was, you know, Brooks went up to Bryson. Bryson's there holding the trophy. Brooks is putting his hand out, I think, to take the trophy, not to shake his hand.
I think you're right in that moment. That was a good catch there. Good eyes there. Yeah, I mean, you tweeted out the word manufactured over the course of the weekend. And yes, I think it's one of those scenarios where I think Brooks and Bryson realize that they're really never going to be like the friends that hang out outside of any golf venue. However, they realize in certain scenarios like this, it's like, listen, we're on the same team right now, for better or for worse. I don't really love you. You don't love me, but we can get along and be cordial, and we can pretend to hug this out at least while we get the victory for our country. So that's kind of where things seemed like they left at the end of the weekend.
The real question here, and this was brought up early in the week too, during that interaction on the practice tees, was who was the bigger man here? Was it Brooks or Bryson? It felt like Brooks was trying to maybe smooth things over a little bit more. Brooks was the one who went to Bryson on the range and had a conversation with him. We didn't see any part of that conversation, thanks to the magic of editing. So it felt like Brooks was trying to overcome it. Because and that feels also very on brand for Bryson. Bryson just wouldn't care. So. Yeah.
It was interesting to watch that storyline throughout the entire week. Nonetheless, it rolls on. I don't know if they're just in it for the pip money and they're all pulling the wool over our eyes right now, but regardless, it's fun to watch. Another shot we need to get to from this past week, because this is the shot that transcended the world of golf and just went to everyone on the internet, was the insane Jordan Spieth flop shot on Friday. He was up against Lake Michigan and had to quite literally hit a flop shot where the ball went straight up in the air. He swung directly into a bank. And as a result of swinging directly into the bank, Mike, he goes running backwards and free falling towards the lake. Meanwhile, the ball is straight up in the air, and it ended up being a miraculous shot, landing a few feet from the hole. And it absolutely just kind of like not only stunned the golf Twitter audience, but just everyone was like, what? That's a golf shot? You can do that? Yeah. It was truly amazing.
You know who else would probably be able to do a shot like that, and we'd be all over it? It probably has done something like that, where we've had to do a flop and fall all the way backwards, is Phil Mickelson.
Yeah, he was there enjoying himself this past week, too. Yeah. I noticed. He had a few drinks for himself, definitely.
Supposedly,
he was enjoying the celebration.
Supposedly, they can't repeat anything he said.
Oh, yes. That sounds about right. Man, I wish I could add just a 10-minute recording for him with a mic on Sunday night after that celebration. That would have been fun. Nonetheless, yes, Phil would totally pull that shot off. I mean, this was one of those flop shots where he hit it so high in the air, he probably could have maybe even tried to catch the ball. That's how high and straight it went. But it was just a unique, truly, like, what a weird game this is. How do we fall in love with this game? Like, this is the strangest sport in the world, but I love it. And it was so funny to see Jordan Spieth hit that shot in the moment. Good to see guys like him and Justin Thomas kind of shake the cobwebs off of all these past Ryder Cups and the horrible trauma from the last decade or two the Team U.S. has had, and see them kind of be at the leading edge of a win this week. That was a really nice storyline as well.
Yeah. And on the flip side, let's talk real quick about Rory McIlroy, because his post-round interview on Sunday, where he was weepy. He was visibly incredibly upset and anguished over his lack of production and just how horrible a week it was for them. And just to me cements again the reason why we need team golf at the Olympics. If you're going to do Olympic golf, we need team golf, because the energy you get in this sort of thing is incredible.
You know, I'm imagining, and we love doing the daydreaming with formats here on the podcast. I'm imagining a scenario where you get like four or six man teams from each country, maybe.
I would actually do three men, three women.
That would be awesome.
Mixed.
Oh man, we've talked about the funny wet dream idea of a Solheim Ryder Cup combo at the same time. Mm-hmm. That would be the next step right there. So hopefully we do see something like that in the near future. But yeah, Rory, very emotional this week. Listen, he's used to winning these Ryder Cups. This is a territory for him. So he was a little out of the box there.
And Ian Poulter crying as well. It looked like a 1 point on Sunday.
I know you hate to see that.
He and Sergio are going to be playing our Ryder Cup teams until they're like 75. So
yeah, if they don't captain first too, and Lee Westwood as well be captaining real soon. So they'll be back around. Don't worry, the Ryder Cup is back for real. Though it was good to see the U.S. get that win. And shout out to Captain Stricker. I'm going to shout out our first T9 core value of the week, and I'm going to just give respect to Stricker. You know, Steve Stricker is a guy that's very quiet, kind of rather antisocial, doesn't do a whole lot of public speaking, not very outspoken in general, but he let his research and his stats and his thinking do the talking. He put together the right groupings. He was that right, calm, cool, collected leader that the Team USA needed. And I just feel like he brought a lot of the pressure off of the Ryder Cup. So shout out to and big respect to Captain Stricker for getting the win.
Yeah, and what he said as well is that this was his major. He never won a major, and this for him has become his major, and just phenomenal that he now gets to hoist that trophy too.
Wisconsin guy getting it done in Wisconsin.
Should he captain for in Paris? Do you think he should be the captain in Paris?
Now it's like, or what was it? Italy 2023, Italy or whatever. Do we just run it back now? It's first success in so long. Let's just bring everybody back. Let's have the exact same team, exact same assistant captains, and not change a thing. Watch them try and replicate that in a year and a half. We'll pick up that conversation.
Sounds like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers right there.
Yes, exactly.
Let's one other thing I want to talk about from the world of golf, which was maybe just as incredible a shot, something I don't think anybody would ever do, and that was on the LPGA tour, putting from the bunker by Inhee Gee. I mean, just and almost holding it for eagle.
Yeah, you're at MWRINC on Twitter, and I'm at Course of Life 1. You sent this to me yesterday. Admittedly, a little distracted with an NFL Sunday and the Ryder Cup going on. I should have paid a little bit more attention to the LPGA. They had a fantastic finish, but this was the highlight indeed, because you and I and all the amateur golfers out there know that moment in the round, or maybe that moment in your life when you were just completely uncomfortable hitting out of the sand, and you look and you see a nice short lip, and you wonder, you know, do I even need to hit a wedge out of this bunker? Can I just put this out and use the Texas wedge? And that's exactly what Inhee Gee did. She was speaking the thoughts of all the amateur golfers out there. And might I say that putt out of the bunker came out remarkably smooth.
It really did. It almost went in the hole. And that's just incredible.
That was cool to see. Interesting amateur, pros or amateurs highlight for us all there on the LPGA with the Texas wedge from Inhee Gee. Cool stuff to see on the LPGA. And yes, I'm going to go ahead and practice this the next time I get a nice short lip bunker. I'm going to see if this is actually doable. I have a feeling, Mike, that at my local Muni course in Austin, Texas, I don't know if the ball is going to roll that smooth out of the sand, but I'll give it a go nonetheless.
Yeah. I don't think it's worked that well for you, but you let me know. You capture it on video and you let us all know.
We'll do, yes.
Let's take a peek at what's going to now be happening next after the Ryder Cup. PGA Tour back in swing. There was no other event. It was nothing but the Ryder Cup. So now we head to Mississippi for the Sanderson Farms, where Sergio Garcia is defending. Is he guaranteed? Is he going to be out there after this past week? Or do you think he's going to take a week off?
I don't know. He could end up doing the Monday, Tuesday WD, right, as this podcast is released. But regardless, he is the defending champion. So you'd think he'd kind of send that honor into the tournament and show up there. Not too far away from Wisconsin to hop on a plane and get there this week. But yeah, an awkward moment for him. Not picking up kind of the spare win last fall, you remember, in Mississippi, where really people didn't expect him to do so. And then obviously now having the anguish and the defeat of last week and having to go defend your title immediately after. Interesting time in the PGA Tour schedule as well, too. Again, this is that time you're going to be seeing a lot of new names. We're watching our buddy Dylan Wu. He's going to get his second official start of his first rookie season. New names on the leaderboard this week. I'll be popping in to check the action. And I'll also shout out Sebastian Munoz, our friend Teo Gomez, who Teo's on the bag for, is the 2019 defending champion at this event as well, too. So should be some fireworks this weekend.
Well, indeed. Our full picks will be up on Wednesday evening on Twitter, so make sure to follow us there so you can see it. But for now, let's switch over to Tuned In, where we share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. I have to start with breaking news, Alex.
Oh, breaking ding, 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 ding. The breaking news feeder. What do we got?
There's going to be a second season of Tiger King.
Oh, man. Shout out to Joe Exotic. He's going to wiggle his way back into our lives, isn't he?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you sit tight, all you cool cats and kittens, because you know that Carol fucking Baskin is here.
Well, she had that funny little run on Dancing with the Stars last fall watched. And yes, so I'm tuned into that because that's back as well, too, with an even crazier cast. But she held on for a few weeks there. Yes, she's making her way back in season two. I mean, what are we going over with? Is this a lot of jail time biography at this point?
Well, I feel like there's a lot we missed in the last year and a half. There's a lot of footage they left on the cutting room floor for season one, and they're going to supposedly bring a lot of that back up and re-edit and give us a second season out of that.
Like that. So, all right. I'll give it a go. I'll promise an episode. I can't say I'm going to tune in the full thing unless I get the epicness from season one. We'll see that.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. I'm also back. Great British Bake Off is back.
Yes. I mean, we love our baking shows. That's for sure. Mm-hmm. Shout out to Always End With Food. We just released our food podcast last week with Wes from Halloween Baking Championship on the Food Network as well, too. Great British Bake Off is back. It's mm-hmm. that season, Mike. I mean, you're a year-round baker, but mm-hmm. I would contend that I feel like maybe we're heading into prime baking months right now. As the temperatures begin to cool, fall air sets in, it's definitely a good time of year to get the oven going again.
It really is. And you just get different flavors this time of year. You start thinking more about apples and you think about pumpkin. I don't. Yes. And all that sort of stuff.
We had a great food draft on Always End With Food Pod as well, too. Check out that food podcast as well if you're into that type of conversation. It was very contentious as well. Very apple and pumpkin pilts. So check that out. What I'm tuned into is the return, Mike, of an MTV classic, a show on MTV that I can actually get you to watch.
Oh,
that's how classic it is.
Right.
We're going way back. We're going 20 years. It's amazing that it's been 20 years, Mike, since the beginning of MTV Cribs.
Oh,
do you believe that? They brought MTV Cribs back in the last few weeks. We finally get to go back into the homes of celebrities and see all the audaciousness and the craziness and the car collections and the indoor pools and the outdoor pools and the indoor basketball courts and the outdoor basketball courts. But obviously, we're looking into the fridge because that's one of the most epic parts of every celebrity home tour.
But
when we take a look into your fridge, Mike, and we do your MTV Cribs episode, what are we going to see in there?
A shit ton of condiments.
Yes. And nothing to put them on, right?
Pretty much.
Isn't that amazing
how
that
works? Yeah.
So yeah, we've been going into a lot of fridges on MTV Cribs. I got to say, a lot of these celebrities, they really don't cook. No one cooks for themselves anymore. They all have private chefs. All their fridges are just loaded with like $5 waters and like pre-made smoothies and like boutique alcohol brands. There's like no food in celebrity fridges anymore. That's the MTV Cribs update from 2021.
Pretty much. They don't eat. They just don't eat.
Yeah, they also just don't eat. They've just got an IV hooked up to themselves to stay in peak physical condition, too. So that's the life of the celebrities. It's good to see MTV Cribs is back, though.
All right, let's get into this week's guest. Alex, previously on, what was it, a year ago, I think it was?
Almost.
We had on world-long driver Wes Patterson, who created the Press High Stakes Tournament. Now he's bringing a music festival party to the golf course.
I love this. I mean, this name is just too perfect for the vibe that Wes and the team are creating. Par-tee, the Par-tee Tour. I mean, how perfect is that for the golfers out there? This is a new innovative concept that I had to have Wes on to tell everyone in our audience about. A golf tournament. Or is it? It's not really. Is it a music festival? I don't know. You'll have to find out. But there's a lot of things going on at the party tour. It's coming very soon, and we get to hear about it all right now.
That's right. But first, as always, this interview is brought to you by Desert Fox Golf, our friends of the show and the makers of the Phone Caddy. The Phone Caddy lets you strap your phone right onto the side of your golf cart so it's easy to view and use all day long. No more fumbling around the dark spaces of your golf cart, dropping your phone on the seat, or even worse, onto the grass as you drive away. The Phone Caddy keeps you locked in safely, so you can stay locked into your round. It'll be the talk of your foursome and we're less than 90 days away from Christmas, so it's going to be the perfect Christmas gift for all the golfers in your life. Save 10% off your purchase of a phone caddy for the holidays with the promo code COURSEOFLIFE. Comes in a range of colors, and you can even show your support with their patriotic line. So head on over to DesertFoxGolf.com to get your phone caddy, and don't forget to use the promo code COURSEOFLIFE to save 10%. Again, that's promo code COURSEOFLIFE at DesertFoxGolf.com.
Next up on the tee, we got a friend of the show, world long driver extraordinaire as well. He gave us the Press Golf Series earlier this year, which launched a pretty impressive champion as well too in professional golf. And now he's bringing the party to golf with the Party Tour. Wes Patterson here joining us again on the Course of Life. Wes, how's everything going tonight?
It's going good, man. I really appreciate you bringing me back on and talk about my endeavors.
Definitely. Yeah. So I want to do a quick recap because I remember the last time we had you on early 2020, you planned out the Press, which was a high stakes golf match, which we followed closely. It was here in the Texas San Antonio area. Very impressed to see the field you put together. And I want you to follow up and give everyone the amazing run that one of the competitors went on the Champions Tour afterwards, because it was a really cool salute to the success that they had at the Press as well.
Yeah, man, it was awesome. It was a great first event. I really appreciate the Briggs Ranch and the Dormy Network for what they put behind it for us. And we had an awesome field. And Bryce and Emmer and Max Rotlow turned in the victory, a nice little 12-under on the second day. But, we had a few runs by some guys. A few guys got into the U.S. Open right after that. And then we had a guy named Alex Chayka that decided to win a couple majors after it. So we won't take all the credit because obviously Alex has been playing forever, but he did give us a little heads up, a little nod saying, hey, that golf tournament we put a lot more fun and had a lot of fun and really turned his game around and got back to having fun on the golf course and turned out to a couple victories.
Yeah, definitely. No, hold your head high on that. And I will connect the dots and give you a little bit of credit for spawning Alex Checa's amazing major championship run. But you're right, though. It kind of probably put the game in a little bit of a different perspective for him and allowed him to maybe free himself up a little bit and have that run. That was really cool to see. Now, so off of the Press, when I first saw this idea being floated around social media, it was being teased on my feed. And all I saw was Party Tour. Immediately, I was intrigued. It's being billed as a golf festival that you are putting together. Tell everyone what that is going to entail. This sounds like something I've never seen before, but I could only imagine my wildest dreams.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a fun little ride, and I can't wait to get it going. It's going to be November 6th down at Palm Beach National here in South Florida. It's going to be our first event, but it's been an awesome journey. We all know during COVID, golf kind of got a big spurt and brought in a lot of new golfers to the sport, which is awesome and really a different demographic than your old school, it's a country club type of golf. It's everybody's enjoying the sport now. And with my background and a few of the guys' partners, Jacob Galladay is also a long driver that's been with me for a while. Me and him have been involved in a bunch of corporate charity outings for years, seen some awesome events that way, but we also have seen the downside of some of those events, as in sometimes it takes 6.5 hours, you're out there forever, it feels like it's dragging on, and we're just like kind of thinking, like, what could we change to make this really cool, and be able to really bring together a lot of people, enjoy the sport, but and enjoy the outings they have, and just about the same time we were chit-chatting a little bit about it, we ran into a couple guys that have been in the music festival world, Chris Keating, David House, and we also ran into a world-renowned street artist, Greg Mike, and we all kind of threw in the ideas together, and the Party Tour was born.
That's so cool.
It's been a fun, awesome ride, man.
Love the genesis of that. And Jacob Galladay, for those who know on social media, you know him as the Jesus of golf as well, too. And these two go on some amazing long drive exhibitions across the country. I know you'll be busy with a lot of those as well. But talk about that idea that you hit on, which is is really important, and the idea and the concept of what this day is. You know, when a lot of people think of a day on the golf course or a golf event of any kind, they think of getting there early and a full session on the range and organizing how you're going to go out and start the round. And it's a 6 hour round that takes you out there all day. And there is a lot of downtime inherently with that. Talk to me about what the Partee Tour is doing, where you're kind of eliminating that and bringing the ideas of golf to a whole new audience that doesn't have to be out on the course all day.
No, absolutely. I mean, it's the furthest that we can be from an 18-hole event. We want to be able to bring as much entertainment value to the golf course as possible. We want to be able to have a huge demographic. We want guys and people to come and enjoy the event that they don't even have to hit a golf ball if they don't want to, or they can hit golf balls all day. We have people that want to come and enjoy the food and the drinks and music. I mean, it's really trying to create an event that is around, obviously, the sport that we love. We all love golf and a huge passion of it, but we also want to be more open to everybody that wants to come involved. You don't have to be a very good golfer, or you could be a professional. You could never picked up a golf club ever, or you could be somebody that grinds on the range. We just want to be open to everybody, and who doesn't listen to music and have a couple of beers playing golf nowadays? So we might as well cut out the waiting around in between each shot and bring in some really cool activations to get you either hitting a golf ball the whole time, or you sit there and hang out.
This is exciting. So I want to get into everything that you can see at the Partee Tour. Again, it's Partee Tour, P-A-R-T-E Tour on Instagram and social media everywhere. You can check out the website. You know, for people who are looking at this right now and intrigued by the event, you know, what can you bring? You know, how should you expect people to dress? Kind of set the vibe for the people that are going to be going to this event, because I'm sure it's kind of going to be a lot different from the typical golf course event that they would saunter up to on a normal day.
No, absolutely. And our biggest thing is just be you. You can wear whatever you guys want. I mean, if you want to put on a fashion statement or you just want to wear some gym clothes, it's rare. We're trying to be inclusive to everybody. And we're lucky to partner up with Palm Beach National down here in South Florida. They run a few other golf courses, but they got a really cool vibe at theirs. They always have music playing on the range. I think, don't quote me on this, but I think every time you play around, I believe you get a shot of rum if you want it. They got some barrels that set up for look like beer pong on the range. So it's like a really cool vibe venue, old school. I would say a vintage fun Bushwood Country Club is what we're going for. Yes. With Palm Beach National. But we really feel like there's so much new to golf, and there's so many new people to golf that enjoy, you know, the short game courses. That it's not like the at Pinehurst, like the Cradle. You got Top Golf. You got you got Drive Shack. That are just good luck trying to get a table there. Like, there's so many cool aspects of golf nowadays. There are so many intriguing, so many different people to get into the sport, and we're just trying to combine it all. I mean, we're trying to take every facet of the game and have some form of activation that you can, you know, showcase your skills if you want to, but we also want to have certain events that you can win prizes, you can wear win cool stuff. I mean, we're gonna have dunk tanks that you hit stingers, and if you with let me add, it'll be with a foam ball, not a real ball. So maybe
it'll change. Still love the concept though. Yes.
Yeah, but we'll have dunk tanks that you hit golf balls at. We'll have we actually have a miniature range that has all these floating greens in the lake that you're hitting golf balls into the lake and trying to hit targets. Like, we have a putting course, crazy putt golf course, and we actually have a long drive activation, which hopefully I won't lose anybody on the day, but we'll see.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you about there. Let's talk about some of the different spots on the map if people are looking at it right now. So first off, yeah, that long drive exhibition. Are you going to be the final boss for the winner that attends the festival, or how's that going to work?
What was that video game with the Star Fox back in the day?
Yes.
My final boss. Yeah, we're gonna have a few of us out there, you know, hanging out, having a good time, you know, and teaching some people if they want to have like a little one swing lesson, or they just want to, you know, send some drives for some contest stuff. So, but we'll have some form of long drive exhibition. A few of our guys will put on a little show about 15-20 minutes in between when we're shutting down all the golf events and getting into just the concert part of it at the end of the night. So,
very cool.
But the long drive activation will have anybody that wants to come up and send some drives and out drive your buddies.
Yeah, Wes, can you, if you spot me 150 yards, maybe I'll make a bet with you on that. Sound like a plan?
I'll give you 160 and I'll give you 3-1 odds.
All right, perfect. Love that. I knew you'd be able to negotiate something quickly. The other part of the map I want to check on is the chip and sip. This is neat because a lot of people know the pitch and putt concept, but tell me what's going to make this unique for attendees there. It sounds like you can walk around with a drink or two while you're playing. What is it, 6 or 9 holes, pitch and putt?
So right now we have it 6. This is actually my favorite activations because where I can be creative. So when we go into, when we take this on the road, we go into different venues. I get to be my, get to be the Kill Hants of the world and try to create these chip and putt, courses in these venues, which is really, really cool. But what we got is, it's kind of like the Cradle of the Pinehurst. You know, they have, you know, 9 holes and create a really cool atmosphere vibe around there. We're going to have, you know, 6 to 7 holes. We're going to have sponsors that have every single hole. We're going to have it working around an area, like a shade structure, which will have some music playing, some food, some drinks. Really liven up the party, man. It's a really cool, nothing's going to be any more than about a 60 to 80 yard shot. And we're going to have it's probably going to start with 8 something, I'm guessing, but we'll probably have some 16 sons, and I'm sure they'll have some money on the line too. So
definitely,
it's going to be really, really fun. And it's a really cool spot.
Yeah. 60 to 80 yards. I think late in the day, that might be my max as well too, if I'm enjoying myself properly there. So that sounds like a lot of fun. Let's get to the music part you mentioned as well. So it sounds like we're going to feature a lot of the golf stuff on the earlier half of the day, but you know, as the sun starts to go down, the party is going to double for sure when we have the stage. Now tell me about the actual kind of, you said that you've got contacts in the festival business. So tell me about how the picking of the artists and the lineup all came together.
So yeah, we're gonna be a little bit different. A lot of our guys come from the more of an EDM festival type of world, which is kind of music I've listened to. I mean, I listen to just about everything, but you normally think about golf, it's normally probably ends up with a country concert, you know, normally. Yeah. We want to go a little different than that. And we'll obviously bring in some country artists sometimes for different venues. But this first one, we kind of thought we want to be a little bit different. We got some really awesome guys like JCO is going to DJ during the day. Golf Clap, it's going to be a lot of house music during the day. That kind of vibe, especially for those people that want to come and don't really want to hit golf balls. They just want to come vibe out and hang out. So it's definitely something cool. It's definitely a different concept when you think about golf. You normally don't think of house music, but I mean, for me, that's what I'm listening to. So it's been really cool. We've had some really good feedback on that kind of genre, and people are loving it.
No, I appreciate that. And yes, you did hear that correctly at home. Golf Clap. He's a DJ that goes real hard, real aggressive. So I'm guessing for these type of sets, we're going to have to bring some glow sticks out. We're definitely going to be glowing at night there in some way.
There might be a few glow sticks, but I'm going to have to tell you, they're probably going to tame it down just a little bit because it's going to be during the day. So I'm sure it won't be too much of the headbang. It's going to be more chill, but
like that.
Those guys are so talented, man. They're so talented. And the cool part is at the end of the day we're gonna shut it down and have the Whalers come in and play a little old school Bob Marley and the fans. So it's gonna be really cool vibe at the end of the day too.
Oh, nice. We're going to bring it down to end the day. That's a fantastic finish as well, too. So again, it's the Party Tour. Check out the website, Instagram, and all that to look into going to this event yourself. Saturday, November 6th, Palm Beach National in Florida. So Wes Patterson, long driver, our friend of the show, co-founder of the Party Tour. You did mention that there's going to be some obviously great alcohol, but food options as well, too. I'm interested in getting my grub on if I'm going to be there for the entire day, and it is a festival environment. So tell me what you're doing. It looks like you're bringing in some sort of variety of local vendors, correct?
Yeah. So it's at first we were thinking about bringing in some food truck style food, which we still might. We have a couple few local caterers that are going to get really involved. Palm Beach National actually has their own food truck that's outside that's going to be handling most of the stuff for the VIPs.
Nice.
But yeah, it's all going to be local vendors. We're still working out a few sponsorship deals with some of the other beverages and stuff too. So I can't wait to announce those here in the coming weeks, but it's going to be some really cool, really good stuff. It's going to be some awesome local food. Who is South Florida, man? You got anything from Cuban food to seafood, so you can't beat it.
Nice. That's a great variety indeed. Final question I want to ask. I don't know if I'm going to get a full name from you, but I did see that we are going to have some sort of celebrity guest there at the party tour. I don't know if it's a name or a hint or something you can give our audience, but who might be in attendance at the party tour?
I'm at the say I plead the fifth, but we're going to have some big names. I promise you that. We're going to have a lot of people are going to come out. So can't drop that yet. That's in the works, and you'll hear from us soon. So check it out. Check us out on Instagram with Party Tour, and you'll keep.
All right, I tried, everyone at home. I tried. It's November 6th. It's coming up real soon. I'm looking forward to following all the coverage, the buildup, and the event itself. Wes, thank you again for hopping on, and looking forward to the Party Tour revolution.
And we're back. Great chat there with Wes. The venue here, the map that I'm looking at for the Party Tour is just phenomenal. I mean,
pretty much
this is
our dream, right? I mean, yeah. This is like it put a dream golf day together. Well, it would have a 6-hole pitching putt. It would have a long drive, a Top Golf, a restaurant, a bar, a stage, a concert, and a whole lot more. I mean, he described it right there, but this sounds like maybe the beginning of a really cool concept, Mike. You and I love these concepts that get the game out to new people and new audiences. Yeah. Like you said, you don't even really have to bring golf clubs to this if you don't want to. There's so much entertainment going on, but it's neat to see what Wes is doing to kind of help grow the game and get it out to more people as well.
It really is pretty awesome. And that'll be November 6th, Saturday, November 6th at Palm Beach National Golf Club, the Party Tour.
Yes, love that. Love having Wes back on. If you like that conversation or any of the other cool golf guests, be sure to subscribe, tune in. We're on YouTube. We're on all the socials, COL Podcast on Instagram. Check us on Twitter as well. I'm at Course Life One. You're at MWRINC. To follow along and stay tuned for more great guests like that. Love having Wes on and hearing about his endeavors. And looking forward to more content from the Party Tour. Can't wait to see how that turns out.
Yeah. Let's talk football before we get into your horrendous college football weekend.
Yeah, that was bad.
Let's talk my local college football team and my wife's employer's football team, I guess is the way to call it, I guess. The Georgia Southern University Eagles.
Yes, the Eagles. Yeah. How are they doing? I've seen it hasn't been the greatest start to the season from what I've noticed.
No. So they started the season 1-3. And before the start of the game on Saturday, video came out of a player on top of a bus, literally on top of a bus as the bus is moving, being thrown a beer and shotgunning it.
Oh, this was going in, Mike.
Going into the game.
I saw this video.
Before the game had even started.
That was the mistake there. First off, 1-3, not great. No, you can do the epic, ride on top of the bus into the stadium, get the crowd pumped up. However, yeah. I think you're supposed to save the shotgun and chug for maybe after you win the game. Just maybe. Yeah. Just a thought. I don't know. Call me crazy.
So instead, though, of winning the game, so they lost. So they're now 1-3. And their coach got fired. So,
I'm sure there must be some sort of connection between that incident and the firing, in addition to losing football games as well. So that, man. Tough look for the Eagles there.
Yeah, not good. Not good.
Not a good September, indeed. My September has been okay picking these games. I had a whirlwind Saturday, though, Mike. It was one of those Saturdays where I lost so many bets early on Saturday. I had to bet more games at night just to make things up. Finished 6-9 on Saturday, 11-10 picking overall last week on college football. We're still riding the wave just slightly over 500, but if you've seen any headlines in college football, it is very unpredictable. There are top teams going down left and right. It's been an entertaining season for the wagering, to say the least.
It is indeed. And maybe you won't have another week like this, but highly unlikely.
Yes.
Let's talk the NFL. How you doing, buddy? How you doing?
I'm not good. I could even hear my intro to this podcast was like an octave down because just really deep down that it's tough right now. Tough Patriots loss to go 1-2, a real ugly one at home to the Saints. And then obviously with what looms next Sunday, and Tom Brady and the Bucs coming back to Gillette. It just it makes me wonder where things are going this year. I'm keeping the faith with the rookie quarterback, not giving up by any means, but Definitely pulled at the heartstrings this past Sunday watching NFL football. That's for sure.
I mean, were you really expecting to see Mac Jones lead the Patriots all the way to the Super Bowl? Is that really what you think was going to happen this season?
You'd be surprised how much I expected. Yes. But now I'm coming back down to earth just like I did last season and fully realizing we could be an 8 or 9 win team, and I may have to live with that, but we'll take it one week at a time. The Brady Bucks game looms this Sunday night. Mix of emotions, a complete whirlwind as I watch that one this coming Sunday night. It was a rough football weekend overall, start to finish on all corners. I think your corner as well too.
I don't know what you're talking about. I don't know.
Yeah, it's the football Giants, another loss to the buzzer. I mean, they are just, it's tough times right now for our teams. The bottom line, we need some pick me up wins here in the next week or two for reinvigoration.
I have a great pick me up. You know what my pick me up is?
Yeah, what's that?
The Yankees sweeping the Red Sox in Boston.
Yeah, nice crucial weekend in Boston. Yeah. This is the complete opposite conversation of what we had 3 months ago when I was in Boston and I watched the Red Sox sweep the Yankees, and we basically threw you in a coffin 6 feet deep, and I started pouring the sand on you in July and August.
But
then you had like a screwdriver in the coffin, and you etched your way out and you found complete life now, and it is completely the opposite. Now you're throwing me in the coffin here with a week left in the season.
Yeah, this was a pretty crazy roller coaster of a season, I feel like, where the Yankees did well, then they did horrendously, so bad, and the Red Sox were doing great. And then there was this flip, and the Red Sox sucked, and the Yankees were fantastic for a while. And then it flipped again, and the Yankees were sucking, and the Red Sox were doing great. And now we're coming to the end of the season. We're going to the last series, and it's flipped again. Yankees sweep the Sox. They now play the Blue Jays to finish the season, which is going to be a great series, because depending on how this plays out, they can then play again in the wild card game. So because it's this could be really interesting.
Oh man, little wild card series, a one gamer, Red Sox Yankees. That could be something. So we'll be tuned in for that in the next week or so. But yeah, tough times, Boston sports. Let's go ahead and just hashtag always in with food and get right to the end, though. Brought to you by our friends Toasty Snacks, makers of the Toasty Super Bites, our favorite golf snack, but you can really take them anywhere. We love all the flavors, they're great on the go. Promo code is COL20 for 20% off, or just head to toasty.com/COL. I'm going to let you lead the way. What are you munching on this week?
So we actually went to a new restaurant, something we don't do very often anymore.
Good for you guys. Like that.
Out in the Thunderbolt area of the Savannah, greater metro complex, called Erica Brown Low Country, built into an old gas station. Pretty cool place. It had some of the best crab dip I think I've ever had.
Interesting. What kind of flavor is on the crab dip? What was it?
Actually taste the crab.
That's nice.
I mean, and it was nice served with fried wonton strips. So,
what a deadly chip and dip combo that is right there.
I know. It was fantastic. I mean, the rest of the food was great too. I had fried shrimp. Do you like Brussels sprouts, by the way? Do you like Brussels sprouts?
Yeah, if they're done rightly. Yeah, absolutely.
They had a smoked Brussels sprouts. And they were fantastic. Just like deadly. Like I would go back just for the crab dip and the Brussels sprouts.
That is some good cooking right there. Nice choice. Erica Brown, Low Country in Savannah. And I wanted to stick with that crab theme. I'm heading to Florida. You got a brief trip down there. We're both heading to Florida quickly next week. And they have this kind of remixed queso. I love chips and queso here in Texas. Mm-hmm. But down at Pinchers, Marco Island, Florida, they do a crab queso, Mike. So it is all the best things you love about queso, but it's mixed with that lovely fresh crab caught just down the road too, right in the water. So I'm going to be all about the crab dip as well this week. Looking forward to that hot crab and cheese dip and all the seafood coming my way. And that's pretty much what's going down this week.
It's going to be delicious one way or the other.
It will be. We're heading to a vacation week next week as well too. We're going to have a cool vacation themed guest. If you like tropics, you like nice clear blue water, fishing and wonderful locations, this next week's guest is for you. So be sure to subscribe and tune in. Until then, we'll see you next week on Course of Life.